Lady Shear, Chayvus Halvavus, Shahar B'Tochen, Wednesday afternoon. Yud Gimel, I think. Yud Gimel Mar Cheshvan, Tov Shinayan Dalet. Okay, we're learning Chayvus Halvavus, Shahar B'Tochen. We're in Perek Gimel. Perek Gimel is the first perek where he starts teaching us how to acquire Midas HaBitachon, and he says Paragimel essentially is to think about and be convinced of the truth of five premises. And the five premises, the first premise is that the seven things in the second perek are true about Hashem. So it is, he is a worthy power to rely on, with reliance meaning what he defined in Perek Aleph, that you're calm, you sourced, outsourced it, you're stress free, it's not up to you, it's up to that power, the subject of your reliance. The second one was really doesn't seem to be a direct Avoda of Bitachon, but Chavis Halvavus was very smart and knew what he was talking about. The second one is to realize that Hashem knows what your motivations are, what's going on in your thoughts and your subconscious and v'chulu. So you can't fool him, you can't just pay lip service to Bitachon, it has to be real. The third one was that it's only Hashem, it's not Bitachon in the doctor and Hashem, in the driver and Hashem, in your boss and Hashem, in your protector and Hashem, in your intelligence and Hashem. But you have to get clear in your mind that everything is a channel through which Hashem works, but there's only one. To the degree that you have plan B, so you're not relying on Hashem. It's akin to Avodah Zarah, conceptually. It's part of Hashem Echad, right? He's the only power. The fourth premise, and again, it's not directly, well, maybe that is more directly Bitachon, because you have to make sure that your reliance is only on Hashem. The fourth one is that you have to do your part, that Hashem can rely on you. And again, he does what he does throughout the Sefer. He says, I mean, you know, you go into someone for a loan, and it says, do not ring the bell between 2 and 3, and it's between 2 and 3, and you rang the bell, and you said, can I borrow my down payment for my mortgage from you? So he'll throw you out. He'll say, can you read? Don't ring the bell between 2 and 3. So Hashem is the same way. And again, it sounds funny, but the Chayyul Lovus does that throughout the Sefer, even though it like sort of brings Hashem's down to our level. Chayyus HaLovus does that throughout the Sefer, risking that, so to speak, because he wants to make it real. He wants people to be able to relate through it at their lives, not with their lives, with reality, with their reality. This is my chiddush. That's not really a chiddush. This is my theory why he does that. And he does it throughout the Sefer with those of you who are here Sunday in Cheshbon HaNefesh. He has done it so far to every single Cheshbon that we're learning about. Of the 30 cheshbonos, he has done it to every single one. He wants it to be part of the human experience. Now, we can go deeper. So that makes it real. It's not just a musa shmooze. You're hearing from someone, and you're closing your eyes, and you're going, taka, taka. Like, you realize it. It's, hey, taka. It doesn't make sense. How can I do that? How can I ask someone for a loan if I just violated what he explicitly told me not to do? So how can I... Why would Hashem do for me if I'm... And again, this is a machlokes. Chavis Halvavos, there are Rishonim that argue with the Chavis Halvavos and say that a Rosha can have Bitachon as well. It's not a contradiction. So to that I say, it really is a contradiction. It's like weird. Because if you're having Bitachon, let's say you're convinced of the seven things in the second perek. Now, a person that's convinced, and remember, Hashem, there's no lip service. Hashem knows what's in your kishkes. It's kind of hard to imagine someone who's convinced of the seven things in Perek Beis being a Rasha. Right? It's just, right? How did that happen? So, okay.
So I wonder how real the issue is. But then I said to myself, why not? You could have a Rosh or someone Litayavon. He can't control himself. He doesn't have a handle on his Yerushamayim. He can't summon up even Yiras HaOnesh. And he's very Megusham, and he has Taivis, and he can't control himself. So, you know, but you could have it, I guess. So there is a Machlokas. But the Chavis HaLovas definitely is... I'm not trying to make everybody hold the same thing. Chavis HaLovas is very clear about that. A Russia cannot... The whole parasha Bitochon is mufka from. If you... The question really is when you learn Chavis HaLovas, and we said this as a technical contradiction, that the Chavis HaLovas keeps talking about how part of Bitochon is that Hashem, you can rely on Hashem even if you don't deserve it. So what's he saying here? And the answer we gave was that he's saying here, and the Chafetz Chaim echoes it in, if you learn Shmiras HaLoshon, Chafetz Chaim, the second half of the Sefer. If you learn Chafetz Chaim, it's interesting, it always comes out around Tisha B'Av, this piece, where he says that this was the Chet HaMeraglim, that Ach Bashem Al Timrodu. We're human, we'll stumble, we'll fall, Hashem will do things for us even if we don't deserve it, we can rely on Him, but don't rebel against Hashem. Don't rebel. So that is, and that's, he doesn't elaborate on this point, but he says it one or two times in this paragraph, so I'm confident that's the answer. The other Svarim, many Svarim written on Shar HaBitachon, on Chavis HaLovas in general, and on Shara B'Tochen in particular. They give other terutzim. I haven't seen my terutz, but I'm afraid I'm a balgaiva enough to think that my terutz is the correct one. The Chafetz Chaim certainly says it as a yesod, that when the Meraglim, he says, we don't deserve to go into Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Ochelos Yoshveh, if you do a chet there, you're in the Heichal Melech. We can't be on that madrega. And Moshe Rabbeinu says, "Ach Bashem Al Timrodu," and that's what the Chavetz Chaim explains. I mean, it's a cute way of explaining those words. That's not the Poshut Pshat in the Pasuk. Poshut Pshat in the Pasuk is referring to what the Meraglim were plotting. So he said, "Ach Bashem," but the Chavetz Chaim understands that that's all you need. Don't rebel against Hashem. Do your best. That's the simple line. Hashem only wants us to do our best. Now, you say, but Rabbi Munowitz, how do I know if I'm doing my best? I don't have an answer for that. I don't know the answer. The answer is to develop the koach of introspection, and maybe to make a cheshbon ha-nefesh, and maybe to think about where you're going with your life, and think about, this is what how a Jew is supposed to live. Certainly a chodesh halvados Jew. Think about, how do I react in this situation? When is my weakest time, when I'll talk Lashon Hara, you know, when am I most susceptible to listening to it and believing it, how could I daven better, let me make a game plan, so you do your best, you know, are you doing your best? Nobody ever knows that till they're standing in judgment after 120 years, that's all, you don't know, then you find out, you know, and that's what's, and I hope it's scary, it's supposed to be scary, but all you have to do is your best. You don't have to look at results. You don't have to look at other people. You can look at other people for inspiration, but don't look at other people and say, you don't know. As the Chavis HaLovas says in Shavu the Salokim, there was a whole, you don't know what's going on by other people. Someone who you might look down on and you say you're way ahead of him, you may find out in the Olam HaEmes that he is doing his utmost, and you're working on six cylinders when you have an eight-cylinder car. And it's also, I don't know how you know. That's the fun of life. You just try. But you don't have to worry. I think in the Chavis HaLovas' world, if you are okay with Hashem, and you're okay in knowing that Ruchnius is... You know, if you set up your life that this world is a vestibule, Prozdar, and the Traklin is Olam Haba, and you really believe that, you'll be okay. I mean, if it's true, you know, and then we go back to premise number two. If it's really true, so we live our lives, normal lives. The Torah doesn't want us to live anything but normal lives. We go to work, we deal with our kids, we have aggravation from our kids. And, you know, you do your best. That's all. And really, Chazal really doesn't want you worrying. That's bitachon. He doesn't want you worrying. He wants you to be besimcha. As we'll explain at the end of Shar HaBitachon, the Baal Bitachon is smiling, cheerful, optimistic person who just is always in a good mood. Once you develop Bitachon, you'll always be in a good mood. Not always. I mean, if the kid's just muddied up the floor, that you just finished sponging, I don't know what to tell you. You could say Hashem wanted this to happen. That would be wonderful. And then I'll be mechanech my children not to do that, but I won't get personally angry at them because I know it's Hashem, not them. That's like ideal. That's ideal. You mechanech them, but that's how you don't get angry at them. And we get angry at we get angry at our children. And we do it. That's bad. We get angry for it. So, and it's Hashem. That's a way to assuage or at least lower the temperature of the anger. But we don't think of it that way. Even when the goyim do something to us, we have to think that it's Hashem. It's not going to exonerate the goyim. Or someone steals from me, or talks lashon hara on me, or messes me up in life, so they won't be exonerated. And you're not supposed to even take pleasure in that, but we do. Can't help it. I don't know if we can't help it. I take that back. Maybe we could help it. But then you lose that personal edge of anger or nekama or netira because you realize it's from Hashem. So you don't take life so seriously, meaning it's not personal. It's Hashem. You know. So, anyway, that's number four. Don't rebel against Hashem. That's how I'm saying it. That's my teretz to the obvious contradiction of Chazal's Halvados. And I'm pretty confident that that's the pshat, and that's premise number four is don't walk through the tomato patch on your way to borrow money for the down payment on your house. That's number four. Don't rebel against Hashem. You want Hashem to rely, you want to rely on Hashem, he has to be able to rely on you. You have to be on the same page. That's what he's saying. That's number four. That's premise number four, and it is a machlokas. The Ramban, the Gra, very famously argue and say, and it's based on a Gemara in Shabbos, which implies not like the Chayvus Halvados. He talks about being made by Yisrishon. They did all sorts of terrible Averus, but they were on Hashem. It's a Gemara, so they did have the Tachon. So we're not going to go into it on that level. To be mafalpel about the Chayvus Halvados is Shita versus other Rishonim Shita. But I want you to be aware that even this, which he makes so logical, and it's machlokas really. But again, the Chazal Baal, this is limited to rebelling against Hashem. And if you want to see the matter at a little elaboration, not from the context of the Chazal Baal, so look in the Chafetz Chaim, the second half of the Sefer, and around Tisha B'Av time, that's like really funny. Around Tisha B'Av time, he has this whole discussion about the Meraglim. And this is his yesod of the Meraglim, and he says people make this mistake in life that they think they have to be perfect, and once they're not, and this is with children, it's this way, especially if parents make perfection the goal, so then the child feels if it's not perfect, he's nowhere. So that's a huge problem, and it's a problem in ourselves, you know. That's the famous Chofetz Chaim Moshe with the apples. Why don't you grab some apples for yourself? You find yourself in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei going like that. You say, what are you hitting me? Oh yeah, I'm in Shemoneh Esrei. So have kavanah from now on. Take Jonathan Sasson's sheet, an eitzah for kavanah, paste it into your siddur, and it's a wonderful exercise in developing kavanah in Shemoneh Esrei. My point though was, if you find yourself not having kavanah, don't get depressed. Have kavanah from then on. That's all. That's what's called doing your best. Okay, we're up to Hagdama HaChamishis, the fifth premise. To develop true bitachon. And this is a biggie. Because this is the biggie. This is like, Hashem Yisbor Etzlo, be clear, Ki Hashlomos HaDvarim HaMeschachim Bolam HaZeh La'achar HaYetzira, Hi B'Shnei Dvarim. things happen. After Sheshes Yimei Breishis, things happen. Sheshes Yimei Breishis, things just come into existence. After that, things happen. They are the result of a chain of events. They don't just snap into existence. They occur. There's cause and effect. So now the trick is to realize that the cause and effect is a mirage. Things that appear to be chidushim, they happen. Oh, look what just happened. I bumped my toe. A war broke out. The stock market went down. I lost my wallet. These things that happened, lachar hayitzira, after sheshes yimei breishis, he b'shnei dvarim. It's made up of two parts. Echad mehem is gzeiros habori yisala, v'chevtso b'yitziyoso el gvul ha-havoya. Hashem's will, that's the chinuch, puts this basic belief as part of the mitzvah of emunah, of anochi Hashem Elokecha, that everything that occurs is a product of Hashem's will, is a result of Hashem's will. V'hasheni, and you have to realize that sibos u'mutzayim, that it's the result of a chain of events. And Hashem is the one manipulating those events to reach that maskana. The chain of events could be generations long, because the reason you're here now, the reason you married who you married, is because of who knows what. It can go back generations, and grandfathers and great-grandfathers and grandmothers, and where they decided to live, and pogroms, and they moved, and they lived here, and all of that was so that your parents should meet. You know, it's like mind-boggling. But everything, nothing is by happenstance, nothing is by accident, and nothing is by mikra. Everything is, even though we see it as, I ran across the street, I tripped, I fell down, and my nose is bleeding now because I broke my nose. So you say, why did that happen? I mean, I saw that. No, you didn't see what really happened. What really happened is that there was a gzeira that your nose should bleed at 2:14 p.m. on this day. And Hashem maneuvered that should happen. Mehem krovim and mehem rechokim. Sometimes you see the seeming cause and event directly, and sometimes it could be hundreds of years in the making. Mehem niglim, or mehem nistarim. Sometimes it's hidden. You don't see the real reason. Right? Why did the war break out? Why this? V'chulam, and the beautiful lash of v'chulam ratzum lahashlim, but everything is running to do their shlichus, meaning everything in the world is osim be'emor, its own konam. Everybody is sent on a shlichus to carry out the will of Hashem. Lahashlim ha'senigzaro havoyoso, it's coming into existence, my bloody nose, my nose bleeding. V'heira oso, and the giloy, that it happens openly, and I am aware of it, it's not a pnimi problem. V'ezer ha'lokim lahem alzeh. The funny thing is, nothing could happen unless Hashem wills, right? Nobody can do anything unless Hashem wills them to let them do it. So everything is happening, but gadol, Hashem has ratzon is the result. But meanwhile, all the players that are Hashem's channels to carry out the result are also powered by Hashem, or else they couldn't think or walk or eat or breathe or talk. Right? They wouldn't be able to do anything. So Hashem is like running that also. Hashem wrote the script, and he is manipulating the puppets, except when it comes to Bechira. Anyway, but Bechira is not manipulating, but he's allowing it to happen, and he's making, and the results are going to happen no matter what. Even if a person's Bechira, Lu Yitzuya, a person's Bechira takes him in a certain direction, so everything that was supposed to happen will still happen. So, right, we have Bechira that Mashiach should come without suffering, without Hevlei Mashiach. But if we don't, Mashiach's still going to come. We know who's going to win the World Series. We are. We know that. The question is, how much suffering will Klal Yisrael have to undergo? How many tragedies, how much suffering, how much crying, how much pain, until he comes? That's up to us. It's going to happen because Hashem is Gozer, it should happen. And then in everybody's mini world, whatever happens to them happens. But our Bechira is, you know, again, this is, I don't want to start touching upon Bechira and Yediyah because that gives everyone a headache. But that's, you know, we certainly, you don't have to worry who's going to win the game, really. And I'm saying, like, we don't have to worry about that. We know Mashiach's going to come, there will be Tchias HaMesim, it will be revealed to the whole world, Malchus Hashem, the Jews will be the luckiest people in the world, will be, everybody will, but the question is, what do we have to do to get there? That's the question. So he says, the dimion hasibus akrobos, sometimes the chain has very few links, and he compares it to drawing water out of a well, kotzos maimi mamake eric begalgale hakelim, drawing water, you know, I don't know, hamalim is hamayim and abeer, so it's very direct, look, pail, rope, go like that, water, the sibah harachoka, and sometimes it's like a whole Rube Goldberg design, that there's an animal and he's attached to a rope and the animal is there and the privacy room, you know what I mean, Rube Goldberg. Oh, come on. You never heard of Rube Goldberg? With Mrs. Zabrowski. Rube Goldberg, it was a cartoon, maybe it still exists. And it's like, how do you kill a fly? So like, you know, so you kill a fly, you take a fly swatter and you kill a fly. But if you talk about a Rube Goldberg design, so you build something and then the cat goes and he trips over the wire and then the piece of cheese goes flying and then there's gum and then and ultimately the fly goes there and like it's an entire enormous complex and that's the name of the person that wrote the cartoon, but it became like a noun almost. So you talk about a Rube Goldberg design. So it's funny. It's like funny and like you wonder, would a tucker work like that? but that's what the Chalik HaLavas is saying. Sometimes you see it and sometimes you don't see it. It's like, you know, my father, Olam HaShalom, you know, decided to go to Shanghai instead of following a Baron Kotler to Russia, you know, just, and like, otherwise he wouldn't have ended up on the Lower East Side and meeting my mother, like, everything in the world. Shukosher as a behemah la galgal maniyos lalos. Sometimes as a person, you know, lived in a simple world, so he's talking about the pail drawing the water, and sometimes it's attached to an animal, and there's a person far away who's manipulating the whole system where the animal is walking and making the rope be pulled. Achasibos asher bein ha'odom v'hakelim mitzuim bein shnei ha'dvarim v'im ha'behema v'ha'igulim. There's the animal and the wheels that turn shemeniyah k'tzosu mitz'k'tzosu v'ha'chevel. And if something breaks down, it doesn't work. But Hashem, so that is what we see. V'im yikre pegel achas ben hasibos ha'neskaros. If the rope breaks, lo yugmar ha'inyan ha'mechuvim behem, it wouldn't work. But Hashem makes sure that what has to work, so that the end result happens. Other actions which come into existence. They don't happen. Hashem prepares. So therefore, you're much better off spending time davening to Hashem and pleading with Hashem, then figuring out how to manipulate what's happening. We're going to learn about Hishtadlus, which always brings a sigh of relief to everyone. But as I always say, if it brings a sigh of relief, it means you're not holding by Bitachon. Or else you wouldn't be relieved. You would be upset that you have to waste your time with Hishtadlus, because Hashem is bringing it about anyway. But since everybody sighs with relief, it means they don't really have bitachon. We think we are the cause of what happens, but I don't want to do anything else. I don't want Rabbi Linus to get angry at me if he finds out that I. You can't do Hishtadlus. Baruch Hashem, you do Hishtadlus. But you're only saying Baruch Hashem because you think your Hishtadlus accomplishes something, right? Asher b'hem yigam k'ma shakasu v'lo niskanu alilos v'amar gudolo eitzu v'ravo aliliya, because it's complicated. Hashem is more complicated than a mayoral campaign. It's like really complicated. Hashem runs the whole world. You know, I wrote a letter to the tzibur, to the people in the shul. So at the end, I said, you know, what I meant by the last line is that don't take it that seriously, even though I meant everything I wrote in the letter. But don't go crazy. Hashem's going to decide who wins. Hashem's going to decide how that person should act. So we're only doing... And again, I'm not backtracking on anything I wrote, but relax, because people get so angry. People get so annoyed. It's a lack of bitachon. It's a lack of acknowledging that relax. Whoever's going to win is going to win, and it doesn't potter you from doing your shtadlus again, but that edge of taking it personally and angrily, and that's only if you think that you can affect the outcome, really. Okay, then Tia and the Sibos and the Doros Bechlau, if the Sibos wouldn't be there, Lo Tugmar Yitzias Dover Menapulos Ativius Algeder Havoyim. Chashinistakal Betzorech Adam Losabe Vulehizgalgel, right? The person has to Ligmar in Yanov. Now he segues into Hishtadlus. And he says, Hishtadlus is not that sophisticated an idea. No one in the world sits down by a table with their lunch and expects the lunch to fly through the air and into their throat and into their stomach and give them nutrition. Well, why not? Why not? Hashem wants you to live, and Hashem built the body to have nutrition. Well, what's so outlandish? Okay, maybe not a nice gully. So someone's going to come into the room and start feeding me. So he says, come on. That doesn't happen. That's not the way the world works. The world works with hishtadlus, he says. He will give us the criterion and the guidelines and the gevulim. Because if you really have bitachon, the more bitachon you have, the less hishtadlus you'll do, unless there's a red line. There's a red line. Even if you're the biggest Baal Bitachon in the world, you don't cross the street without looking both ways. You don't leave a window open in your house that a child, Chas V'Shalom, can get there without bars on the window. The biggest Baal Bitachon is also to do that. But there's a technical reason why. There's Lo Sosim Damim B'Beisecha. The Torah tells us what to do. What is the Torah telling us? To make a makkah for someone who'll fall off. Hey man, who's going to fall off? Hashem! Hashem's going to decide who falls off. He does. That's why it says Ki Yipol Hanofel Mimenu. You know, funny lashon. Ki Yipol Hanofel Mimenu. Chazal say the person that fell was supposed to fall anyway. Ki Yipol Hanofel Mimenu. But you're going to have to answer for not having a marker. You're going to have to answer for not having bars on the window. You're going to have to answer for not having a lock on your door. So exactly where you draw the line, we're going to hopefully learn. Everyone's going to end up developing their own guidelines, really, because every case is different and you can't really... But, so everybody says, can I do this? Can I do that? So let me tell you now to your soul. It's not a chicken that went into the milch kapat. You have to be guided by your own neshama. It's a very big soul, I'm telling you now. Really, I don't know. You have to be guided by your own neshama. You work on your bitachon, and if you've worked on your bitachon, and leave out this paragraph about hishtadlus, okay? You work on your bitachon. All these questions that you have, your neshama will answer it. You will have the answer within yourself. You don't have to ask the rabbi. The rabbi can answer a question. So, am I allowed to take out a full page yet? Or do I have to take out a half page yet? I don't know. But if you have bitachon, you will answer the question yourself. You will intuit, your neshama, which is a chelek eloka mimal, will guide you intuitively to be in sync with your level of bitachon. If you see that you're too involved in this morass of hishtadlus, so you go back and you work on your bitachon, there's no point, almost no point, in doing less ishtadlus if you're not having the bitachon. Then you're just making yourself miserable. Right? Can I go to Hebron for Shabbos? Should I have bitachon? I say, if you're going to spend the whole Shabbos on nervous Nelly, so then you shouldn't go. In fact, you're not allowed to go because you won't have any onik Shabbos. I said, but you're coming to me now. Why didn't you go to Shara Bitochen classes for the last 2 years? Then you would run to Hebron because you would be confident that Hashem will take care of you. And you will just ask me, maybe does it have a din of a Mokum Sakana where I'm not allowed to go? That's a legitimate question because you're not allowed to go to a Mokum Sakana. But, you know, to say, am I allowed to spend more money for an LL ticket because their security is better? So I say, it's not a question of allowed or not. There's certainly no mitzvah to sit on a different airline and your heart's pounding the whole trip and your knees are shaking and you're looking at every guy with a mustache thinking if he has a bomb in his suitcase. there's no mitzvah to do that. You're not making Hashem happy by doing that. You're making Hashem happy by being calm, by being relaxed, by having bitachon. So that's what you should work on. Okay, we're getting back to, like he sort of, he says, but you have to do, Hashem doesn't need the links in the chain, but he created a world in which it's necessary to have links in the chain. That's what he's saying. And the water's not going to get out of the well without the links in the chain. And he says, ki atzorech al hamazon, someone that needs food, sheyusum lefonav hamachol karoilo, even if someone puts down food in front of him on the table, if he doesn't do hishtadlus, you know, we don't think of this as hishtadlus, but that's what the Chayvus Avavus is very, that's hishtadlus. So hishtadlus exists and it's a chiyuv. He doesn't use the word hishtadlus, by the way. I'm just using it because that's the word we're familiar with. His word is hisaskus besibos, busying yourself with the seeming causes, cause and effect, busying yourself with the causes. Hisaskus besibos. The reason that's a better term than hishtadlus, because hisaskus besibos has the implication that you're not really accomplishing anything. You're just keeping yourself busy. You're being misasik with it. Yeah, because that's what he'll ultimately say. We'll learn Mikishon next week. You're not really doing anything. It's kind of depressing, maybe, but you have to do it because it's Ratzon Hashem. So like that, if you do too little hishtadlus, it could be a violation of Hashem's will, and then you have to make sure that it's that you do it. Hashem wants you to do it. Chavis Halavus is very insistent that people do what we call hishtadlus, hisaskus pasibos, he calls it, and he explains why. We'll get to that. Why did Hashem make a world in which we have to waste our time, because it's literally a waste of time, because what's going to happen is going to happen, and it would have happened anyway, it's going to happen anyway, and why do I have to waste my time getting up in the morning? And we'll get to that. Now he's saying, come on, look, someone puts down food in front of you. If you don't pick it up, put it in your mouth and chew it, you're going to starve to death. You can sit there saying tilim the whole time. You're going to starve to death. You have to do the hishtadlus of picking up the food, putting it in your mouth and chewing it. You just takes a very basic case. And that's how but then he says, that's everything in the world is like that. This is the difficulty of the tachon. It's reason it's so difficult is because it's demanded that we live normal lives, that we get up and we go to work and we try and we keep up with the latest advances in whatever field we're in, and if we're in the house, keeping the house, and what happens in the house, and what happens with neighbors, and what happens with children. We have to go do everything and be busy with it a whole day, and like in the back of our minds, we're sort of like, boy, it's a waste of time. And that's beautiful. This way you don't get so angry at your neighbor when they keep throwing down garbage on your merpeset. You don't get angry. So you see the difference. You deal with it. You have to deal with it. You should deal with it. But you're not going to take it personally. You're going to get angry, because if you're going to be angry at anybody, you'll be angry at Hashem. What are you throwing? He's throwing down garbage onto your merpeset. And then if you finish being angry with Hashem, you can ask yourself, why is Hashem angry with me? Why is Hashem throwing down garbage on Maimer Pesach? Hashem is perfect. So if he's throwing down garbage on Maimer Pesach, he must be annoyed at me. Why is he annoyed at me? Oh, because when I go in the street, I throw garbage on the floor, on the street, because I figure it's a street, public street. Oh, Hashem, midah keneged midah. You're dirtying my streets, I'm dirtying your merpeset. Boom. So you stop and you do tshuva, and then all of a sudden the neighbor stops. We should be zoichet to such things. It's not so simple. I'm painting a nice picture. But this is the way it works. This is the way it works, Rebbe Osteen. This is... Anyway, getting back, he says, you're going to starve to death if you just have bitachon. If you need water, he says, you know, and you got to do a heck of a lot more because nobody's putting bread on your table. He's waiting. If you put bread on your table, you're going to starve to death because you have to pick it up, put it in your mouth, chew it, and swallow it. He says, but and no one's putting bread on your table, so you have to go plant, and you have to do all the things you have to do. That that's all hishtadlus. How did the bread get at your table? So you have to betchina v'alisha v'afia v'doimeluzeh. Now let's say you don't know how, so you need money to go buy bread and put it on the table. So how do you get that money? No one's giving you money, and if you know who is, let me know. No one's giving you money, so you have to go out and work. And the Chayyus of others does not hold that b'zeyas apecha tochalechem is the source of working. He doesn't hold it's a klala. He holds it's embedded in the way the world works. And the Chayyus of others says that the pasuk that says people will have to work to earn money to get the things they want is vayanicheu began eden la'avda ulishamra. That's what the Mauritian was working. He was working. He was tending on whatever level, you know. He was tending the trees in Gan Eden. You have to do something. You have to keep yourself busy. You're supposed to add to Tikkun HaOlam. We're going to learn about that, how you pick a profession, how you pick what to do. Chavi Halovis becomes a job counselor. At the end of the parak, he tells you. Since it, you see, most people will say, let me sit down with a job counselor and see what everybody earns, and I'll see what field I want to go into because I want to earn a certain amount of money, so I'll go into this field because that earns more money than the other field. Bittelsman, you're wasting your time. Yeah, you have to talk to the job counselor in case you're planning on selling horseshoes. So the job counselor has to tell you no one uses horses anymore. So it's not hishtadlus to set up a stand and make your parnosa selling horseshoes. And if you're still using Windows 2, I don't know, is there a Windows 2? Whatever it is, and you're going to teach people how to use Windows 2, so you know that's not hishtadlus. But that's all they should be used for. Not if I have a BA, if I don't have a BA. Now, please, my daughters went to college and they got their degrees, because they wanted to go into a certain field. But Baruch Hashem, we collectively picked the field that they would want to go into based on the Chayyus Halvavus' criteria. Baruch Hashem, they're good girls. Maybe you know a good boy? They're good girls. And we picked what they want to do. And then, if you want to do this, you have to go to college and get a degree, or you're not going to be able to do it. They're not going to let you near someone to, whether with this therapy or that therapy. They're not going to let you near the person. You're not going to get jobs. You're not going to be able to help that person. So you first decide, I'm jumping ahead because he says at the end of the prayer, you first decide what you want to do, what will give you job satisfaction, what you will feel productive in doing, what you like doing, what you feel capable of doing. And we'll go through that whole thing. Not how much money you'll earn. That's up to Hashem. That's, again, once you're past a certain level that you pick the field, that, you know, like I said, you want to sell horseshoes, you want to fix, you want to fix, wagons. You know, no one's using wagons. So, but, that's a very big sellable thing. So he's getting back to this, you have to earn money. So he starts off, he wants to break the news to you slowly. You think you're a big Baal Bitachon, but you have to pick up the food and chew it, and put it in your mouth and chew it and swallow it, right? Yeah. Okay, have the bread get to the table. It's not flying in the window. Okay. I have to go to the store and get it. What do you mean the store and get it? The store's not going to give you a piece of a loaf of bread. Okay, I have to have money. Where do you get the money from? You have to work. That's all the same as picking up the bread and putting it in your mouth and swallowing it. That's what the Chazal told us this picture of life is. So you have to earn money. And that's normal, and that's his haskus pasibos, and that's the way Hashem made the world, and he will soon discuss why. Why did Hashem make a world where we're essentially wasting our time with everything we do? Yeah, and that's why B'tachon so hard. Because you gotta do and keep up with, if you're a doctor, you gotta keep, well, doctors maybe no cash, because anything you do, you have a store where you sell things, you have to keep up with what to put in the window, you have to wash the window, or else people see dirty dresses. And really, it's only the window that's dirty. But they're not going to want to buy anything. You have to know how to set up you're going to these supermarkets. It's a whole chachma. You know, they make the, like a bookstore. You know, bookstores, how they pile up the bestsellers. And you walk in and where to position things. You have to, that's normal. That's normal. That you do that. And that's part of the chachma of selling. Don't go overboard. So you're not going to get angry if one day the guy didn't set up. You're going to say, you owe me today's net earnings because you didn't set up. You're going to get today's net earnings no matter what. Relax. As long as you make sure to normally do. But you got to read up and you got to keep up with whatever field you're in. You have to keep up with the latest advances, which nowadays is like almost an impossible task because the information keeps flowing, and there's a lot of garbage out there too, because everything is like free for all. You want to put forth any Nourish guy, just write a blog about it. And people read it, they go, oh, it's black and white. Apricot bits. Okay, so that's, we'll stop here, and now he starts talking about Hishtadlus, book in the fifth premise. The fifth premise is everything that happens is from Hashem. Nothing's going to happen if Hashem doesn't will it to be, and if Hashem wills it to be, it will happen. So, having said that, but Hashem did create a world where after Sheshes Yimei Breishis, things are the result of a series of events, and we are charged with, we're not aware of it, but people have to, usually it's people that make those events. So sometimes we know what we're doing, sometimes we don't know what we're doing, sometimes Hashem moves us in a certain direction. All we know, what we do is we live our lives with to juggle these two balls, and it's really impossible, but it must be possible because that's what we have to do. Nobody ever said it was easy. It will happen anyway, but I have to do what I'm doing. It's Ratzon Hashem. It's not a frumkeit. It is a frumkeit. It's Ratzon Hashem, but as we'll see in the Chavis Halbavos, that's beautiful. Because that makes your whole life, that's how you become an Eved Hashem. Because everything you do, when you're filling up gears, putting gears into your car, you're an Eved Hashem. What? I must have missed that. That must be number 614. No, because I'm doing this only because Hashem wants me to do it. Because it's a waste of time to do it. Because I don't need gears in my car, because I can go to work. What do I have to work for? So I don't need gears, I don't need the car, and I don't need to work. Oh, Hashem wants you to do this. So now you're an Eved Hashem. So it transforms your whole life into a life of, if you really can do this, if you could lick this problem of not backtracking on your bitachon, while you're doing everything that you're doing, why you're doing it for? Because it's Ratzon Hashem to do it. And the Chazal others will explain why it's Ratzon Hashem to do it. We didn't get up today yet. Oh, you mean you're doing Ratzon Hashem when you go to work? You're doing Ratzon Hashem when you put gears in the car? You're doing Ratzon Hashem? Wow. And now your whole life becomes a life where you're an Eved Hashem. So that's being an Eved Hashem. Eved Hashem means everything I do is because it's the will of Hashem. But why is it the will of Hashem? Because Hashem wants me to work. Hashem wants me to do the Hishtadlus. Hashem wants me to bring about the channels through which He will direct His gzeros of what's going to happen through the channels that we have created. And He has charged us with creating the channels. If we choose not to create them, it will happen anyway. The end result will happen anyway. But we will have to answer for not doing the will of Hashem. Thank you.